name's Matt, Matt McGill. I'm one of the pastors on staff. I don't know very much about music, as you could tell. but, you know, that's I can still appreciate it. Okay, so yesterday was huge, right?
Yeah.
Very difficult and very awesome at the same time. It's hard to hold those two emotions together at the same time. What a legacy that Ron left, huh?
Yes. Faith, not fear.
There was more than 2,500 people on campus yesterday. I mean, they were everywhere. This place was packed out. The lobby was packed out. The Life Center was packed out. The room upstairs, LC1, was packed out. The Vertex, which a lot of you guys don't even know exists, the Vertex was packed out. The junior high room was packed out. And even the cafe, people were sitting on these uncomfortable stools. I think people even in the restrooms were streaming it on their iDevices. I mean, they were all over the place. And even online, I heard at one point we had more than 500 people streaming the service at once. And so, I mean, yesterday was really an amazing time.
Glory to God
is right. It was definitely an anointed time. And how about, Kathy stole the show, right? I mean, we kind of thought that the Lord took a preacher from us, but little did we know, Kathy's still here. I said that to her yesterday after the service. I just was, you know, Kathy, way to go. You hit it out of the park. And I go, you stole the show. And with the true Salisbury sarcasm, she's like, well, that was my intention. It was perfect. And so I almost asked her if she just wanted to teach today, but I figured that wouldn't have been appropriate. So it's the day after, and that's tough. And you know, what do we do? How do we move on without really moving on completely? I know that you know, I've got a message prepared. We're looking at Psalm 19, and honestly, as I think about today, I don't know the right way, you know, to move on. I know this without any doubts at all. Ron would love the fact that we're talking about God's Word today. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about God's Word, and we're in the series called Expression, and today we're looking at Psalm 19, and the title that I put on your outline is How to Hear God Speak. And I think we always need to hear God speak, but especially in seasons like this one, right? You know, where God does give. He takes away. Just like we were singing, you know, we were singing and it was upbeat notes and positive and, you know, great song, you know, smiling, but he gives and he takes away. And that's painful sometimes. And in these times, we need to hear God speak. I think we have a lot to learn from this psalm. C.S. Lewis actually said that this is, in his opinion, he's like, this is the best psalm in the whole Bible. This is the best poem. And, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago as we were talking about the psalms, and I said that there were some different kinds of psalms. There's lament psalms, which is the one we talked about. There's thanksgiving psalms, and there's praise psalms. Well, this one is its own kind of psalm, too. It's called a Torah psalm, which is kind of a funny word. Torah is a Hebrew word, and literally Torah just means teachings, but Torah refers to the first five books in the Bible, and it also just refers to the Word of God. Like, you know, God's Word is the Torah. That's the way the Jews would use that. We don't use that when we talk about the Bible. But out of 150 psalms, only three of them are Torah psalms. And when you think about that, you might be like, well, why are we even talking about it then? That's just such a small percentage. If I knew how to do math, I'd give you the percentage. What is that? I don't even know. Some of you already do. Maybe afterwards you can tell me for the next service. But the Torah psalms are so important. Psalm 1 is a Torah psalm. So the very first psalm in the whole collection is about God's Word. We're looking at Psalm 19, which we're going to dive into in a second, but the third one is Psalm 119. And if you're looking for just an exercise to do this week, just go ahead and memorize the whole Psalm 119, right? Yeah, you're laughing because you already know it's the longest psalm in the whole collection, and it's totally devoted to God's word. And so, you know, there's only three of them, but man, these ones are really, really important. And at first pass, this psalm might not seem very exciting. Or very emotional, or very, you know, getting into your heart. But I think that these kinds of psalms, they're like an onion, and not so much that they have layers, but that when you handle them, they make you cry. And that's really what can happen when you deal with this psalm. So speaking of tears, for a second, have you ever just been totally ignored and rejected by somebody? And you don't need to share a story. Well, I'll share one from my own experience. But a little while ago, a few years ago, there was a speaker, a Christian speaker at an event, and I didn't know the speaker, but I knew one of his kids, and the speaker did such a fantastic job. And so I walked up afterwards, and I just, you know, said, "Great job, and hey, I want you to know, you know, your kid's really great. Way to pass on a legacy of Jesus." And right when I was in the middle of the sentence, the speaker, like, turned away from me and didn't even, like let me finish. And I was like, "Well, what's going on here?" Like, I just felt so rejected and stymied. And I don't even know what stymied means, but I felt it, you know. And we've all had experiences like this before where someone wouldn't even give you the time of day. They wouldn't talk to you, let alone get to know you. And what I'm here to tell you today is that God is not like this at all. He is speaking to us. He's speaking to us constantly. If you're here today and you haven't said yes to Jesus and you're just checking this whole God thing out, I want you to hear loud and clear. Amen. That the God of the Bible is speaking to us. He's not cold and distant and invisible and voiceless. And maybe you're sitting here today and you really haven't heard God speak in a long time. And if that's you, you're not alone. It is so difficult. There are so many roadblocks, especially in our day and age, that keep us from hearing, that keep us in a spiritual rut, and we're just distracted from hearing God's voice. The truth is, it is an awesome thing that God talks to us. He tells us exactly what we need to hear when we need to hear it. He doesn't tell us too much. I mean, imagine if God told you everything about you on the first day you started talking to him. I mean, you know, we'd crumple into a pile. But he tells us what we need to hear when we need to hear it. And our job is to listen. This is our responsibility. And of course, the Bible equips us to hear God to speak. And so I've got a few encouragements for you today. And the first one is this. If you're following along in your notes, if not, that's okay. I like notes. If you want to just, you know, create your own little Sudoku puzzle and keep yourself, you know, entertained, you could do that also. But I do know that some of you are type A, and so if I don't refer to the notes, I don't give you the answer, like you'll be, you know, bothered all day. I'll get hate email and all that stuff. So here's the first one is this, is number one is to pay attention to the call of creation. Pay attention to the call of creation. And I'll be the first one to admit it. This one sounds a little weird. You might be looking at this like, "McGill, are you going like hippie tree hugger? Or, I mean, what is happening?" You know, and just hang with me for a second. Let's jump into this psalm. And it says this. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, and no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out unto all the earth, their words to the end of the world." He switches to a second word picture here. "It is like a bright, in the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." I mean, just reading a psalm, it's just so great, the imagery here. Let's unpack a few of these things. It talks about the heavens and the skies, and really what it's saying is that everything above us is telling us about how great God is, the great things that he does and the great person that he is, his glory and his works. And space isn't empty. Space is a marvelous revelation of who God is, what he's doing and his power. It says declare and proclaim. And the way that these words are written, the verb form that they're in, it's ongoing action. It's not like this happened once, or it's only going to happen once in the future. The heavens keep declaring the glory of God. The skies keep proclaiming the work of his hands. And then I don't know if you noticed, there was a little bit of a contradiction. That's the way when I read things, it's like, hey, that contradicts over here. But it says they have no speech, but then on the other hand, their voice is heard all over the place. And so that's a little bit weird. Which is it? You know, make up your mind. Does it have voice? Does it not have a voice? What are you talking about? And of course, it's poetry. You know, poetry doesn't play by all the rules. But the point is clear. Communication is happening, but it's not limited to a single language. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. It talks about the sun also, and this is pretty important, you know, for the ancient Hebrews, because many cultures worshiped the sun. But of course, you know, we don't worship the sun. The psalmist doesn't worship the sun. There really, ultimately, there is no difference between a handful of dirt and the sun. Both were created by God. I mean, the sun is magnificent, don't get me wrong. There is a difference. Like, you could hold dirt. You know, no one holds a little piece of sun. You know, the sun is awesome and amazing. At least, I don't know anybody that does that. Some of you are looking at me, oh, well, maybe I could do it. Go for it. But the psalmist is so clear is that even though the sun is so awesome and amazing and magnificent, and without it we wouldn't have life, even though everyone around you worships the sun in some shape or form, all it really is a tool for God to use. The sun is a created thing, and it displays God's glory. So as we look at these two word pictures, it talks about the heavens and it talks about the sun. What are some things that we could pull out of it? What is he saying about this revelation? And there's a few words for you to write down. And the first is this, is that the call of creation, the God speaking through nature, first of all, it's continual. It's nonstop. It says day after day and night after night, it goes on and on and on and on and on. God is constantly speaking. At any moment, you can go outside, all you need to do is look up, and you can hear God speak. It's also universal. It says that the voice goes out to the ends of the earth. And at the very end of this section, talking about the sun, it says nothing is deprived of its warmth. And the reality is that no one is excluded from this. Everyone experiences this revelation from God. The last word there on your notes, which you can see already, is that it's relational. Is that what these speechless words are communicating is knowledge or wisdom, that it is telling us about who God is. It's talking about the works of his hand and the glory of who he is. The nature tells us how great God is. And of course, you already know this, that when you pay attention to nature, it speaks powerfully to us. I'd love to have a little bit of feedback. Don't worry, it won't be that personal. So anybody want to tell me your worst sin? Just kidding. Pause for a second. You thought I was really telling the truth. No. So just out here in the Central Coast, where a lot of us are outdoorsy people, I'm with you. You know, tell me some favorite spots that you have around here. Okay, a little louder. What?
Montana de Oro.
Montana de Oro, right? Excellent. And I know you guys have one. The Ridge over Pirate's Cove, okay? Nice. Anybody, anything else?
Be cool, be nice, be happy.
Excellent, I love that. That's perfect. I'm still working on all of those. Any great outdoor spots? What about that giant rock in Morro Bay, right? That's pretty cool, amazing. Anything? What's that?
Dragon Point.
Okay? I have 2 ears, but I can only hear one person at once. I wasn't really, that was good. We got Big Sur, right? That place is amazing. I mean, there's all sorts of fantastic places around here, right? I'm going to need to think this through for next service. Maybe I need to have hands or something. But I've only been here for 2 years. I've had to work really hard and be very diligent. I feel like I have experienced all that the Central Coast has to offer when it comes to nature and outdoor. And so what I would like to share a few of them with you. And the first one is this. I got a picture. There, right? Yeah, this is one of my favorite outdoor spots. This is a coffee shop. And it's on the edge of town, which is basically in the wilderness, right? And so sometimes I go here when I want to connect with the Lord. And I didn't take a great picture, but to the left there, you can see the forest, right? Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but one day I got lost in that forest. And I was really scared. But someone else, another hiker came by and helped me out, and that was good. There's another place, just another nature spot, very inspiring. Right, this one is really, really great. A lot of times I have to hike here because there's no parking. And so that's okay. Hiking here is great because when you're done, you can always hunt the wild tacos. And they're always in season. There's no limits. It's great. I love it. And then I got one other place I'd like to show you. There you go, the beach. Okay, this one's a little serious. I know, I'm silly. But, you know, I grew up in Orange County, and ever since I was a little kid, I've been going to the beach from Tustin. Took an hour and 3 bus transfers to get to the beach. But I just loved it so much. And for me, just being at the beach and just soaking it all in totally communicates a lot about who God is. For me, the constant unending movement of the waves reminds me that God is always working, even when I don't see it, even when I don't think it's happening. God is always moving. And of course, the vastness of the ocean, it's so massive and huge, right? And it's a reminder to me that God is so much bigger than my problems, so much bigger than my selfishness, so much bigger than the shame that I can hold on to. And then, of course, also with the beach, the powerful waves, which I don't think there's powerful waves at Avila, but you know, regular beaches, they've got powerful waves. And it just reminds me of how God's power is so far and above and anything that I can conjure up on my own. But see, paying attention to nature is a way to hear God speak. And I'm not talking about some kind of weird New Age thing. I mean, it is a weird point, and maybe we need to rewrite it for next service. But the point is that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And it's up to us to stop and to pay attention. The next point is this, is to pursue the promises of Scripture. God is calling us to pursue the promises of Scripture. And everyone builds their life on something. Truth is, you can build your life on just about anything. You can build your life on your feelings, and if you do that, your life is very erratic because they change from day to day. You can build your life on the world's values, and if you do that, there's lots of disappointment because it promises everything but delivers very little. You could build your life on pleasure, like, hey, this is I just want to have fun, and you could just chase that, or you can go the other way and just really be everything you do, you're running away from pain and loss, and so that you just live with constant fear. But if you pursue these things, you'll end up with false hopes and broken promises. And a lot of us have already experienced this to some degree or another. But there is a better way. We can build our life on the promises of God. The psalm in verse 7, it takes a turn here. Instead of talking about nature, it talks about something else. Verse 7 reads like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Yes. So it says, law and statutes and precepts and commands, and it's a lot of different words. They all essentially mean the same thing, God's word. If you're really interested in knowing the nuanced differences, send me an email. I'll send you, my email is on the bottom of the notes. I'll send you an article that kind of goes into the differences of each one. But essentially, it's just talking about God's word, the thing that comes from his mouth. And in the first part of the psalm, God reveals himself through creation. In the second part of the psalm, God is revealing himself through his word. So right here at this moment, it's probably helpful to pause and talk about a couple theological words. Typically, I like to avoid jargon because I just want things to be simple. I'm a simple thinker myself, and I just want things to be clear. And the truth is that God cares more about transformation than information. So usually I avoid some technical language. But it's helpful here. See, the first part of the psalm is called general revelation. And this is where God speaks through creation. And anytime you hear God speak just through the created order, that is general revelation. And the second part of the psalm where it's talking about God's word, this is special revelation. So there's general revelation and special revelation. The point is that God's creation teaches us some very general things about God. But God's word teaches us some very specific things about who God is. You see, through creation, we hear and understand that God is powerful. Only a powerful God could create the universe and hold it all together. But it's through God's word that we learn he loves us powerfully through his Son. You don't learn about Jesus Christ through creation, only from God's word, only from the Holy Spirit teaching you. Now, if you go to lunch today and you kind of are talking and you're like, and you're a sage and you just go, oh, yeah. And you maybe get a monocle. You pull a monocle out and you're just like really wise. And you're like, oh, general revelation, special revelation. This was really interesting stuff. If that's what you're doing, you're missing the point. And I love you. But here's the deal. Theology fails when it's interesting. It's supposed to be inspiring. It is so awesome that God loves us enough to talk to us. It is so amazing that God speaks to us constantly through the heavens, and he speaks to us specifically through his word. God is doing this because he wants us to live to our fullest potential. He wants to bless us so that we can live according to the design he's put within us. But here are the benefits from God's word. The first is this, rest. We have rest for our souls. We can stop running the treadmill and enjoy his grace. The next benefit is growth. It says in the scriptures that he makes wise the simple. And that in this wisdom that God gives us, he gives us growth, a new perspective. Do you ever feel like you're not smart enough for your own problems? I do constantly. But it's in God's word that we can grow and gain that wisdom that we need. And of course, it says we have joy for our heart. And it doesn't matter what we're facing. No matter how painful the loss, in Christ, through God's word, we have this unshakable joy. And the fourth one there is vision. God's word allows us to see things as they really are. It says light in the eyes, that the law of the Lord puts light in the eyes. And so not only does this allow us to see things for how they really are, other people also notice this too. I mean, you can see when someone else is excited. You can see when somebody else gets it and when someone else is filled with joy. See, the truth is the only way to pursue the promises of God's word is to spend time in God's word. There's no other way. And for some of us, you already know this. You already spend time in God's word. You've developed this habit in your life, and I think that's awesome. And if I could, I'd give you a prize, but the prize would be worthless because it compared to the treasures you've already received from God are unexplainable and incomparable. I know that some of us today have never really read the Bible on our own, or we've kind of fallen out of the habit. And like I said earlier, that's kind of a normal thing to happen. But the reality is, I'd love to encourage you to spend time in God's Word. Even if you don't believe Jesus is God, you can still read the Bible. It's not going to hurt you. You don't have to tell anyone. Just your little secret between you and God. But let's get real practical. I just want to give you a few ideas on what it might look like for you to spend time in God's Word. My challenge to you would be to spend 15 minutes a day. And some of you are like, 15 minutes, that's so lightweight. Awesome. Way to go. You're awesome, and I think that's great. But for those of us that don't spend any time in God's Word, start off with 15 minutes. Pick a time when you're at your best, and there's no distractions. That might mean leaving the phone in the other room. For me, if you're a morning person or not a morning person, like, you know, spend a time when you can, it's 15 great minutes you can give to God. I even have a suggested reading list I think we're going to put up on the board here. Maybe. There we go. And so here's the deal. If you don't know where to start in the Bible, I would suggest you don't do this. Don't just flip through and go like, oh, cool, I'm going to read that. I mean, honestly, I know a lot of people that do that. Maybe no one in here has ever done that. And God will speak to you through what you read. A lot of times people will start at the beginning. It's like, well, it's a book, I'm going to read the first page. And the Bible is a book, but it's really a collection of 66 books. So don't get started in Genesis and just plan on plowing all the way through. That's not my suggestion. A lot of people say, hey, start with John. And you can, and John is great. John is very abstract and philosophical, and it's long. So to me, I want you to start off with Mark. It's the shortest gospel, action-oriented, it's way to go. But here's just a few things that I would suggest to read. And while you're reading here, here's a few things to make note of. I think whenever you're reading the Bible, you should have a little piece of paper and a pen. And here's things that I would make note of. One, I'd make note of things that are confusing. We naturally think we understand everything. We do. We look at something, we think, oh yeah, I get it, I understand it, or we skip over it. But I'm telling you, the Bible can be some confusing things. And so read it and just make a note of what doesn't make sense. If you want to talk about it, man, I'd love to talk about stuff that doesn't make sense in the Bible. The second thing that I think is worth it to make note of is the things that are inspiring. If you read a verse and you're like, oh man, this just lifts my spirit, make a note of that. Because there's going to be days when you need to have your spirit lifted, and now you have something to go back to. And the last thing I put there is challenging. If you read a verse and it's convicting, you know, make a note of that. You read a verse and you're like, ooh, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. You know, have you ever felt like that? I feel like that just about every time I read the Bible. Except for Ecclesiastes right there. No, just kidding. But if you read something that's challenging that you need to work on with your heart, then make a note of that. And this is just a simple thing. I mean, there's a lot of ways to read the Bible, and if you're looking for something that's more advanced, zip me an email, and I got a book or two that I would suggest to help you take your Bible study further. But the point is this, is that I'm just encouraging you to spend 15 minutes a day in God's Word. And I think this is doable. We're all busy. We have a lot of things going on. But if we carve out the time, we could do that. A quick recap here is that with general revelation, God uses his creation and he speaks to us plainly. With special revelation, God uses his Word to speak to us personally. And in both of these things, God is also speaking to us powerfully. He wants to transform our lives. And that's what the final part of this psalm is all about. So to hear God speak, we also need to, number three, press into God's presence. Press into God's presence. See, God doesn't speak to us for his health, as if he needs anything. Kind of reminded of a conversation with my dad when I was a little kid. You know, yeah, you think I'm doing this for my own health? You know, and I'm like, I don't know, Dad, I'm not a doctor. You know, should we consult your physician? He didn't laugh like you did. The conversation, a bad conversation just got worse. You know, I thought, oh man, you know. But the truth is this, God doesn't need anything from us. He really doesn't. You know, we don't need to do all these good things to earn his love. We don't need to do all these good things to make him do something. He loves us fully and completely. Amen. Amen is right. But he is calling us to press into his presence. Let's finish the rest of this psalm. Verse 9, it says this. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey. Honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock and my redeemer. There's too much going on here for us to talk about, so I'm just going to pull out two things. I encourage you to spend some time with this psalm this week, but the first is, let's talk about fear. And it's very interesting to talk about fearing God, I think, because you're like, well, God loves us. Why would we fear God? And this is a respect and a reverence and an awe for him. By itself, fear is really a neutral thing. It's not bad and it's not good. Fear is really nothing more than the recognition that something else is stronger than we are. Fear recognizes that something else has more power than we do. And it's interesting that it says fear of the Lord is pure. This is the only place in the Bible it says that fear of the Lord is pure. Why does it say this? And the truth is that fearing God is good for you. There is nothing impure about it. Most of the fear we live with is harmful, right? Think about the things you fear the most. Don't worry, I won't ask you to tell us what they are. But some of us, we have this over-fear of the unknown. And when we live with that fear, we feel out of control, so we go hyper-control over here. And because we're afraid, we're hyper-controlling, and then there's all sorts of problems in our life. Some of us have huge, huge fears of rejection. And rejection hurts. I mean, it's painful for everybody. Someone was just saying a little while ago, I'm in my 30s. You'd think rejection wouldn't hurt anymore. And it's like, no, it'll hurt your whole life. But some of us fear rejection so much that we go through life, like the skimming the rock on the surface, where we have superficial relationships and we're lonely. We don't take any risks. But fearing God is pure. When we respect and honor and revere God, our life improves. You see, fearing anything other than God damages our hearts. But when we fear God, it is a pure fear. There is no pollution. Second thing I want to bring out in this passage here, this section of the psalm, is the gold and the honey. I mean, I really have to talk about the honey, right? It's food. Who doesn't love food? Good food picture. But there's a few things here, and first of all, gold and honey were valuable, right? But the picture goes beneath and deeper than this. Think for a second, what do most people spend their time chasing? Their dreams, and they dream of accumulating more stuff and satisfying their appetites, right? This is what drives most people, and this is what this psalm is talking to. The accumulation of more stuff, that's gold. When you have things and property and money, and now you have power, and now you have status, and you have control, we think we have these things. And then honey, of course, is sweet, and it's your deepest desires, and what do I want, and what is this, the drive to eat and to have enjoyment. And the truth is this: God's word is worth more than anything the world has to offer. And God's word satisfies our deepest needs. Think about what he's talking here in a second. He's talking about gold and honey. And he's using this, remember, he's talking about God's word, the law. This is strange, right? I mean, it would make a little bit more sense if he's talking about God's grace. It's better than gold, better than honey. or God's compassion, or God's love, or the fact that he has mercy, better than gold, sweeter than honey. But instead, he's talking about God's word. This love for God's word is breathtaking. It really makes me pause. And it makes me think, and it challenges me to go, man, what are the things I love most in this world? What are the things that I love more than God's word? Because that's not the way it should be. To press into God's presence, we're called to do two things. And the first is to worship God. We're called to worship God. And worship isn't a religious activity. And it's not even a spiritual activity. Worship is a human activity because we all worship something, whether we're in a church or not. Everyone worships something. And we are called to worship God. We are called to fear him and to revere him more than anything else. The second way that we can press into God's presence is to please God. And these two points really go hand in hand. If you worship something, then you're going to want to please it. But I put two points because the psalmist separates it, and so I'm doing the same. But like I've said a couple times today, that God isn't really interested in just giving us more information. He's interested in transformation. And this is why he has given us the Bible. This is the reason why he speaks to us, is so that we can press into his presence. You see, the measure of a person's mind, the measure of the thoughts that you have, is God's word. Without God's word, we can't see our faults in the right light. Pay attention to the call of creation. Pursue the promises of God's word and press into his presence. I think these are the things that this psalm is calling us to, and it ends on such a high note, such a crescendo. If there was music that went along as you were reading the Bible, there was also music track, you know, like this would be the crescendo, the cymbals, the everything just going, yeah! So what we're going to do is this, is we're going to all stand up and we're going to read the last verse together, and then I'll pray for us. So go ahead and stand. It'll be up on the screen. Oh, can we get the, did I warn you guys that this was happening? I guess I didn't. Yeah. Sorry about that. It's in the notes, you know. That's right. So, there you go. Good job, guys. I apologize. That was my fault. I just got to tell you, Scott even said, McGill, do you got any, you know, you throw any curveballs this service? And I'm like, nope. You asked, and I lied. I'm sorry. It was not a willful sin. Okay, let's read this last part together. May those words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yes, amen. Let's pray. This is our prayer to you, Lord. This is the reason why you speak to us. You speak to us when life is awesome, and you speak to us when life is not. You speak to us when we have too many words, and you speak to us when we don't know what to say. You speak to us when we're overflowed with joy, and you speak to us when we're overflowing with sorrow. Lord, we don't know. We don't understand everything that you do. But it is our prayer that our thoughts, that the meditations would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord, that you are the good Father that's calling us closer to you, that you love us so much. It doesn't matter if we go to church or not go to church, or read a Bible or not read the Bible, or serve in a ministry or go to a small group, if we're handling all kinds of guilt and shame, that you love us fully and completely. We confess our sins to you. the mistakes that we make and the pride that we hold on to. We know that you make our hearts as white as snow. And we need that. We need that daily. We ask that you would be with us this week. That as amazing as yesterday was, we still need more healing. And we need more hope. And we need more power. That only comes from your Holy Spirit. And so we are empty. And we ask that you would fill us. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being here today, guys. The prayer team is going to be up here if you would like to be praying. I got one last thing I want to tell you about. For studying God's Word, I was supposed to talk about this in the message. I put together a Bible study on the Psalms. And so there's 8 lessons. If it takes you 8 weeks or 8 months or 8 days, this is just something that I put together to help you read a Psalm and then dig into what it is. It's free. They're at the tables out there in the lobby. If you want to get one, great. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'm praying for you. We'll see you next weekend.